Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Horror in the Channel, a human tragedy, smugglers getting away with murder and shameful. Just some of the headlines from UK papers this morning reporting on the drowning of 27 people in the English Channel yesterday. 17 men, 7 women and 3 children died when the boat they were hoping to cross to Britain in sank off the coast of northern France yesterday. Well, this morning the French Interior Minister confirmed that 5 suspects have been arrested in connection to the tragedy, and already today the BBC is reporting that 2 more boats have arrived in Dover carrying 40 migrants. In a moment, I'll speak to Kim Bryan, who's a volunteer for Channel Rescue, which is a humanitarian rights observation group. But first, I'm joined on the line by Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Enda, thank you very much for joining us. Will you just remind us when the news broke on this story?
Yeah, it was yesterday evening, just before 6 o'clock, Claire, and word came through. And what happened initially, the alarm was raised by a French fisherman who was going out to work, and he saw about a dozen bodies floating past his fishing vessel, and he raised the alarm. And then it was a huge effort from all sides, from the UK, from the French, even the Belgians were involved trying to rescue people. A couple of people were plucked from the water, but I mean, it's the worst tragedy that has ever happened in the English Channel, and a lot of recriminations now backwards and forwards between London and Paris over the blame game, I guess, really.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a moment, but in terms of the victims, are any more information on who was on that boat?
No, and I think this will be extremely difficult for the authorities on both sides of the border here, really, to try and figure out who they were, because a lot of the times, I've been to Dover so many times covering this story, and indeed Calais as well, what always happens is that people, when they're pushed out to sea by the people traffickers, they're told to get rid of all documentation. So they don't have passports, they won't have driver's license, there won't be any credit cards. You know, they literally have nothing. I was down there last week, one day last week, 1,185 people came across and got into Kent in one single day, and it was just chaotic what I saw down there, the aftermath. I mean, young men, it was a winter's day, young men wearing flip-flops, singlets, T-shirts, I mean, not dressed for the conditions at all, and they had got across on dinghies. I mean, it is just the most appalling situation. And I think anyone who has been following this or covering it closely over the last few years would have told you that what happened yesterday was simply a matter of time that there was a tragedy on this scale.
I mean, you use the word dinghy, but the vessels that these people are travelling in, they're just beyond flimsy.
Yes. So the French Interior Minister actually gave an interview yesterday evening saying that the vessel, if you could call it that, was like an inflatable that you would put in your back garden. That was how he described it. And they pushed more than 24 human beings out into the sea in that yesterday.
So look, you said there that now we're in the area of recriminations, of blame, who's responsible, who should act. What have the British and French governments been saying?
Well, Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron have spoken by telephone. And you've got to remember as well that relations between London and Paris are not great and haven't been for some time. And this has been one of the key issues. Now, what Johnson wants is British patrols and British police officer and more British involvement along the French coast, on the soil and in the sea. They seem to feel that not enough has been done by the French authorities. And indeed, a colleague a couple of weeks ago was filming on a French beach, watching a couple of dozen migrants carrying a dinghy off down to the shoreline and being watched by French police, who did nothing to intervene. So there is a feeling here that the French haven't done enough. The British government previously has said that it has paid millions of euros to the French government to try and sort this out. The French dispute that a single cent has been paid, that they never got a penny. So, you know, it's a big blame game and a war of words, and it just goes on. But you have to say that what has happened yesterday, wherever the blame lies, it is a massive political failure, that there is fault, obviously, at both governments, and it just needs to be sorted out now because, as you just reported, these boats keep coming. And as soon as the sea is calm, the people traffickers see their opportunity and they don't care. They've got the money and they are ruthless criminals and they could not care less. They will put those people out to sea and just forget about them.
All right. Well, Enda, we heard from Conservative MP for Dover, Natalie Elphick, and she says more needs to be done between the UK and France to prevent people taking the dangerous journey across the Channel. Let's hear what she had to say.
Well, everyone is shocked and appalled at this tragedy. It felt like it was sadly only a matter of time before we saw a boat capsize, and that has happened. This is a very compassionate and concerned community. They want to make sure that people are looked after in places where they need help, but they don't want them making this dangerous journey where we're seeing loss of life. It's absolutely vital that the UK and the French government work together. They have been working together on this, and clearly more needs to be done. I mean, the Prime Minister and the French President have been talking overnight, and I very much hope that we'll see something coming from that about fresh action on the French beaches.
Okay, that's the Conservative MP for Dover. Enda Brady is staying with us. Kim Bryan is a volunteer with Channel Rescue. Kim, thank you very much for joining us. We heard there what Natalie L. Fick had to say. Boris Johnson calling on France to step up and stop migrants crossing the channel. You're working there to help people in the small boats. What do you see happening daily?
Well, what we've seen happening daily and what we've seen since we started really in August 2020 is the route of crossing by boat becoming increasingly viable. People have always been coming to the UK from Calais, but up until sort of pre-COVID, pre-Brexit times, people generally travelled over in the back of lorries. And of course, that was much, much less visible than the people coming over in boats. So when people are talking about numbers, 25,000 people have arrived this year to the UK. I mean, that's actually a comparatively low number of asylum seekers and refugees compared to other numbers arriving in Germany and France, for example.
There are efforts going on this morning, aren't there, to identify the people who died. What are you hearing about where they might have come from?
What we've heard is that people have come from Kurdistan and Afghanistan, but I can't say more than that at the moment. And I was thinking that a lot of the time what's really important is actually the people who are in the camps, the people that are still in Calais will know the people that have crossed over. They'll be missing, they'll know they're missing, and people will be working very, very hard to inform families, to inform relatives, because everybody is someone's son, mother, brother, father, sister. So it's really important that we get this right.
Now, if they manage to make it to the beach, they will sometimes meet volunteers from your own organisation. Can you just describe to us how these people are when they make it across the English Channel?
Generally, people are very cold, they're wet, they're terrified, but also incredibly relieved to arrive in the place where they've been trying to reach for throughout their entire journey. We actually don't meet that many boats. Most of the time, the boats are rescued and picked up by the RNLI and the Border Force. So it's very, in a very few occasions that we actually end up with a beach landing, is what we call them, where our volunteers will go down. And our volunteers kind of carry survival blankets, tea, et cetera, so that they kind of really are first rapid response until the authorities get there.
What would you like to see happening now, Kim?
Well, I think the rhetoric we're hearing that we're going to stop this happening, or that we should be sending British police to France. I mean, the situation in Calais and the surrounding area is very, very difficult for people. The French police are regularly evicting camps. We had an incident about 4 weeks ago where they used rubber bullets on people that were attempting to get into a boat. So the situation's very difficult. It's also a very, very long coastline. So if you start to, what we've seen, as we've seen with the move from lorries to boats, what will happen is that people will just go further west or further north. They'll start making longer journeys and more difficult journeys. We can't stop people who are fleeing conflict, they're fleeing persecution, and they want to reach a country of safety. So what we would like to see and what we've been campaigning for is safe routes for people, but also for humanitarian visas. So at the moment, to claim asylum, you have to actually be in the UK, which is one of the reasons people are making these incredibly dangerous journeys. If people could apply for humanitarian visas in another country, then they could travel here through safe routes, and that's what we're advocating for. We're not going to stop people coming, and people will always find a way. Migration is an inevitability.
Kim, thank you very much. And just on that point, is there acceptance from both the British and the French governments that this is an inevitability? I know that there is a lot of discussion around stopping the journey happening in the first place.
Look, I think the problem that the UK government have got themselves into here is that the rhetoric has been so hard-line for so long. I mean, if you just go back and listen to anything the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, has said, you know, she's all for turning the boats round, stopping them in the sea. I think the conundrum that the UK government has now is that the rhetoric has been so hard-line and so anti-migrant and so anti-boats that they've got themselves into a position now where they can't be seen to be softening. And, you know, you will hear people paying tribute and saying that this is an awful tragedy and we need to do more. But ultimately, the UK's stance has been hard line on this for years and nothing has changed. I mean, 25,000 people have got across that stretch of water. It's 26 miles. And if you look at this, you know, the relationships between the two governments need to improve. And what needs to be done is they need to go after the people traffickers at source. And if you were a police investigator looking at this today, you know, you would be wondering who's buying all the dinghies on that stretch of coastline. Look at their mobile phone activity and look at the cash flow. They're taking 5,000 and 6,000 euros per person for a place in a dinghy. And they don't care whether they sink, swim, drown or get to England. Okay. They do not care. They're a ruthless criminal organisation. And, you know, the people will keep coming. But what the two governments need to do is to sort out some way of tackling the people traffickers at source. Because I've been to Calais, I've been to those stretches of beaches, and you see men cruising up and down in their very expensive SUVs and four-wheel drive vehicles on their mobile phones, organising everything, and they are the root cause of everything.
Enda Brady, Sky News correspondent, many thanks for joining us on the programme. We'll take a quick break.